Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter, actor, and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Lou Temple. Lou is an actor who's appeared in many movies and TV shows. Notably, he appeared as the character Axel in season 3 of The Walking Dead, and on the big screen, he's been seen in The Lone Ranger, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Unstoppable, Deja Vu, Domino, Halloween, The Devil's Rejects, Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning, Waitress, and many more. I also recently launched my Substack. I'll be putting out some writing through Substack each week, and that's also how you can stay up to date on this podcast, as well as other projects I'm involved in. I hope you'll subscribe to read along at mikepelak.substack.com. That's mikepelak.substack.com. A couple quick things before we jump into the episode. I've talked in the past about myself working on breaking into screenwriting. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworketheticpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artists Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Lou, thank you for coming on with me today.
Mike, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. We're on opposite coasts, but in the moment right now. That's fantastic.
So do you think you, before we started recording, you were kind of starting to get into your background a little bit and where you feel like your work ethic comes from? Do you think it comes from kind of something in how you were raised or some other external factor that you've picked up along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. That's a great question to start when you have a conversation about work ethic. Where does it come from? What is it to you? And as we talked about earlier, I think it's different for everybody. But for me, on a personal note, I come from a generation of middle class where work ethic was instilled upon me. And that was attributable to my parents and my grandparents particularly, and they were not artists, but, you know, my father was a plumber. So a tradesman was very skilled at his trade, his vocation. And on top of that, Mike, I was an athlete. I was a baseball player. So baseball and baseball practice became regimentation, became we didn't know it at the time, but it was reps to that 10,000 hours of building a skill. And, you know, we didn't talk like that in my generation. I don't think we had the analytics to support that kind of consideration. But for sure, it was about practicing and playing all day. And somewhere play went beyond joy and into structured, regimented practice. And that to me was the foundation of work ethic, where if you're accomplishing task, putting forth effort and seeing results, then this was the payoff of a work ethic, so to speak. And so I came into the arts with that sensibility. And interesting, you may or may not appreciate this, that as an artist yourself, you understand so much of it is spontaneous, organic, in the moment, that piece of magic. And so I came into it rehearsing my lines inside and out so that when I presented them, they were exactly as I rehearsed them, and they were very rote and they were very wooden and had no magic whatsoever, were very flat, had no variation of the read that I'd been doing for 2 or 3 days in the mirror. And it took me a long time to recognize that's not art. And that's build, that's hammer and nails. And I always appreciated the artists that I worked with that were capable of spontaneity, coming up with that thing. I mean, don't you think it's amazing that somebody, you know, that magic we're always trying to capture in a bottle? I find that delightful when I see that. And so I've had to spend a lot of my career and craft relearning a certain work ethic that's not so restrictive, not so regimented, not so rep-based, rep-built. You know, a great singer can often be a great phraseologist. You know, Sinatra was so good at turning a phrase. And I think that always holds true. And I think that's in the moment and having the confidence to be in the moment. And so that's kind of my take on work ethic as it relates to what we're doing in the arts. I do think that the work ethic, though, is built on some things that are inherent for success. I always go to inspiration, in spirit. In spirit, I think, keeps you going. Motivation lights the fire to get into spirit. Motivation can get you off the couch, but can only take you so far, because the moment that you're past the space that you need to be, that flame sort of flickers and burns out motivation. But in spirit keeps you going after the thing that you're pursuing. So, and I think work ethic and staying in spirit, inspired, inspirationally driven, I think that's a great cause. You know, in baseball, our whole approach, and I'm a real medium build guy. I'm not an athletic physical specimen. I had to work really hard physically. I had to develop skill sets that were advanced just because physically I couldn't compete with the guys bigger and stronger than I was. And then even physically, to try to get bigger and stronger in the weight room, that required a work ethic, you know, and a nutrient, a diet, just getting up every morning to do your reps. I appreciate that because I know what hard work is, and I recognize how it pays off. So,
yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is another thing that I've come across personally, is that sometimes just the, you know, the perseverance and the persistence are just so important for taking what you said about the motivation and then taking those next steps and just sticking with it. Can be difficult at times, but it's sort of a necessary thing here.
I find that being curious is a great superpower. Staying curious, staying bewildered, staying challenged in your work, in your craft, will help you stay in spirit. And I think when you start to lose the interest of the curiosity, then the drive starts to wane a little bit. So we can take the technological advancement as difficulty in the form of self-taping auditions. And we used to go into the room and win a room. And now this is a new challenge that, you know, just about the time that we figured out how to be charming in a room and deliver and do our job and get out and have just that sweet spot of good audition skill, the paradigm shifted, it changed on us, so that we have to redevelop a new skill set, which is self-tape, have the same type of charm, the same type of giving what's requested very professionally, probably with better technological skill sets. And that can be a challenge, and that can be a curious challenge. So you either accept it and go forward with it, or you go against it and suffer. I think you put yourself in a place of disease with that. And we have a place over here in La Brea this tar pit and you can go take a swim in there because all the other dinosaurs did. And that's where, you know, so I do think curiosity is a great place to hold, you know, maintenance, and then serving that focus. It's a little talked about skill, but so important, and it's asked of you so little, but when it's asked, it's gotta be perfect. You know, I'm on set and I recognize, wow, with just a little more focus, this could happen, but two people aren't. Or even interestingly, I'll look at crews. So the crew will have the set in place. Everybody's built their assignment, completed, and maybe they're on their phone texting on action. And you'd be surprised that those who are engaged in the scene, just the same as the performers and or the director and the technician, sound, camera, if that focus was on the scene, it lifts the scene so much. It gives it so much energy. It's crazy. And I have no doubt that the crews and productions that implement a high level of focus are the ones that are succeeding. And it's a really hard, all the other things going on, it's really overlooked. But it's only a few seconds at a time. Cut. And then you could drop focus, you can let it. And there's different kinds of focus, as you know. There's a soft focus where we're just getting into it. I sort of take in the room. Then there's a hard focus where I'm bearing down, I'm going to give you this speech. And knowing those shifts and those gears are important, particularly if you're just listening, if you're just an active listener in a scene. So I find all of those tools to be part of the work ethic, you know?
Sure. And then on a more practical side, I've found that a lot of the people on this show have done things kind of in their career, going above and beyond, creating their own luck, and just kind of doing the things that not everyone else might do. Do you have any example in your career that you've done that?
For sure. A lot of examples, because you recognize right away that you are your best advocate, that you should be the president of the company of you. So I'm owner operator of the Lou Temple Company, and I'm also the sales rep. And so I should be the best, better than my agent, better than my manager, to set this forward on my behalf. So I think that things that I used to do that were applicable. Interestingly, a casting director once told me, if you really love a project, you can't do it with every project, but there are projects that strike a chord with you. Oh, I really want to do this. Not because, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the reason is. Take it upon yourself to make that known, that I really want to do it, as in a drafted letter to the director. I can remember writing Paul Thomas Anderson a letter immediately after I read There Will Be Blood. I loved that project. And it got, he knew me and it got his attention. And I didn't get to do the movie, but I was on the short list. And so I've always taken that as the idea that you can solicit your own work. I think it's important to have a sense of what's coming. So for instance, after COVID, or during COVID, work was limited to big spaces, and work was limited to areas of low population. What does that serve? Well, that might serve the Western, lots of Montana, lots of New Mexico. And so we all should have been well aware of that, growing our facial hair and set up our cowboy, you know, as that moved forward. I've always advocated about find the show that you like, find if it has source material. So much of these have IP, like The Walking Dead. You can go right to the graphic novels and find a character advanced where they are in the season and build a little scene with that character, or take it right out of the graphic novel, put it on tape and get it out to casting or production to advocate for yourself. you might not be Negan, but believe me, somebody will notice, wow, how did they know Negan was coming? And this guy's, you know, let's check him out. So I'm always about that.
Like being proactive.
Absolutely. I think it's a hobby if you're not. How's that?
Yeah.
If you're waiting for something to come across your desk, you're either, you're not aware, or you haven't needed to be, but somewhere in your career, you're going to have to go solicit opportunity, and particularly if you want to change it. You know, if you want to get off 21 Jump Street and go out and do work that inspires you, like Johnny Depp did, you're going to have to make a change. And so many great artists have done that, or reinvent yourself, which is what we're such in an age of reinvention. So many people will say, well, I haven't really gotten started. Well, you have, if you're listening to this. And, you know, change is that's the one thing that is inevitable. I don't know about paying taxes. We maybe can get around that. I would say death is for sure. And the North Star, I've always thought, is always there when I look up. But change for sure is, just like we talked about, from being in the rooms auditioning to now self-tapes, and it will change again. And I think that would be my best advice to your work ethic, is be actively available to change as opposed to resisting it. You know, because I think what you resist persists. So if you're always going to keep, I don't want to do it that way, it's going to keep coming at you, flooding at you, because you're wishing for what you don't want. So get in the habit of accepting and making that change. And it's healthy. It's good for you. It gives you direction. Directability.
It's great advice. And I think it's one of the sparks of magic in the arts too, is that you kind of never know what's going to come of that. You know, you could, like you said, you could be so hardline in one direction, but when you open up to change and reinventing yourself, you may take some left turn that you couldn't have even anticipated otherwise.
It's just, I think it depends a little bit on your upbringing, as we started out with this conversation. I think it depends a little bit on your place in your life. So for me, there was a point in time I was doing The Walking Dead, and things were going well in my career, and I was working with an actor, Scott Wilson, God rest his soul, he's passed, but he's a fantastic actor. He had kind of reinvented himself on that show, and he talked to me a lot about starting over. Don't forget how to start over. Don't forget the passion that you started with. Don't forget how fresh it was, like your first kiss, how you adored it, all of those things. And remember how it didn't matter when you started. It doesn't matter if no one thinks I can do it. I think I can do it. So when you get to a place where you built a little career, you don't ever feel like starting over. Hey, I've done this for a long time. I do this. Why do I have to start over? And I think, I'm not sure, but I think that's the point. I think because you have done it, and we are continually growing and evolving, and we want you to evolve and grow, you know, and not just be the old tree in the backyard. I do think that all of the effort you put forth to serve your desire, your goal, is going to serve you. And I think if you wait for your agent to put forth that effort, I don't want to say you'll be disappointed, because you probably just won't know. Maybe you just won't know what could have been out there. And then we talk about writing something for yourself. Yeah. You know, get active in writing a play, writing a script, writing a short film, writing a TikTok, writing. I mean, there's all these avenues to present yourself. And you know what, Mike? What I've noticed is that working with the younger actors, they have really good camera techniques just from doing this.
Yeah.
Just from that TikTok, just from the YouTube videos, they're really dialed in to that space. They understand eyeline. They understand upstaging themselves on a video. They know how to connect with an audience, which you edit, so you understand that. I mean, the minute that I'm over here and the minute that, you know, all of a sudden that's cut points and edits, and coming from the stage and theater like I did, that's foreign to me. That's new. That's that. So if you're a young actor and you have those, that skill set, you're on track. I'm the one that's got to catch up with you, regardless of credits. And so I think we've never been in a better space to disregard what have you done. When I got started, that was a big play. Those were rungs on the ladder. What are your credits? What have you done? What's your resume look like? I don't think that's as applicable today. And I think good skill, good entertainment is found without by doing this, without looking at the back of your resume.
All right, I got two more quick questions for you.
Please, yes.
What is a goal that you still want to accomplish in your life?
Wow. I would like to be respected by my family for the work that I've done, as not in the form of good work, but in the form of legacy work. Like that's something that we really appreciate Dad did, and that's carried on for a lot of people. So much of the work I do is JOB, sadly, and just, you know, provisional. And so I'd like to be able to have them say, that's solid work, dude. Thank you. That's probably something. And then I suppose I'd like to, at this stage in my career, kind of get on something that I can develop for several seasons. So a series regular and build a character. I guess those go hand in hand, build a character. You know, again, we're at such a television age or streaming age that we talk about those as opposed to, oh, I'd like to be in a movie that did well at Sundance. That's how we used to converse.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to do something on CBS, or I don't, you know, what's Hulu. And so, but today, you're, and it's okay. That's okay. And there'll always be movies, but I think they're held in the same regard as our great streaming. So that would be something. That'd be a goal.
All right. And anything that you want to plug before we go?
There's always something that's out there. You know, Danny Trejo and I have a movie coming out called Seven Cemeteries. It's also with Efren Ramirez, Vote for Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. He's great. It's kind of a dark comedy zombie piece where Danny has to resurrect his old crew from the graveyard through a spell with a Bruja to do battle against a drug cartel trying to take over a farm on the border of Texas. And it's pretty funny, I think. And I think it could be kind of Shaun of the Dead-ish.
Oh, nice.
With the little machete camp to it. So I'm looking forward to that coming out. And then I did a baseball movie this summer up in Toronto called You Gotta Believe with Luke Wilson and Greg Kinnear. And a bunch of young, they were 14 playing 12-year-olds, based on a true story, Little League. So I think that's coming out this spring, and I'm excited for that because I'm a huge baseball fan, as you know.
Sounds cool. All right. Well, Lou, I appreciate you taking the time and coming on with me today.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you for your work ethic and following up and all the things that you do. You're very professional. And so I assume that your work ethic is on board, because how you approach your work on this podcast, I think, is probably serves you well in your career. So thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a delight, and I hope that sometimes, because like you said, you're seeking this kind of conversation, at least to kind of stimulate some thought, and so am I so often, you know. And also from the lunchbox guy, you know, it's easy when you're an A-lister to talk about wonderful things that just stay wonderful. But, you know, sometimes when things are difficult, it's hard to find that inspiration, you know. What would I leave you with? 100% of the things you do get done. That's a good place of work ethic. 100% of the things you do get done.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic.